have to be skeptical of what we're hearing from regional governments and even regional UN forces, that the LRA is on the run and we're only dealing with remnants of the LRA. As the news reports from the region have indicated, LRA attacks in the DRC have actually expanded into new areas of northeastern DR Congo than they had in the past. The humanitarian aid group Medecins Sans Frontières just last week said that tens of thousands of new people have been displaced by the LRA just in the past couple of weeks. And in South Sudan also, there's been the reports of continued abductions, continued killings, all attributed to the LRA. So these reports of LRA being on the run, I think, are a bit of an exaggeration.
How actively engaged is the Ugandan army in tracking down the kidnappers in southern Sudan and freeing those who have been seized?
The Ugandan army is, at the moment, the primary force trying to engage with the LRA. They are deployed in northeastern Congo, in southwestern Central African Republic, and in parts of South Sudan. And to be honest, even though they haven't had success in catching any very senior LRA commanders yet, they are the only regional force that has shown any ability to engage the LRA whatsoever. The national armies in South Sudan and the Congo and Central African Republic have so far been very ineffective in combating the LRA. So the Ugandan military is at the forefront of these regional efforts.
Now, some 2 weeks ago, Doruma in the Democratic Republic of Congo was also subject to attack with 40 Congolese refugees escaping to southern Sudan. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about this attack and those who managed to escape?
Many of the LRA attacks in the past couple of months in the DRC have reportedly been conducted by LRA fighters moving from the DRC to new LRA hideouts in Central African Republic, which is partly a result of increased military pressure on them in the Congo. But the only thing that is clear about these most recent attacks is that the intelligence of what the LRA is actually doing now and what their long-term plans are is very, very unclear, which I think points to the need for the international community to step up to the plate and provide increased intelligence capabilities to UN forces and some of these regional governments, especially the UN peacekeeping force in the DRC, was authorized to receive these additional intelligence capabilities almost a year ago and haven't received them all. So this uncertainty about what the LRA is doing, there's been reports that they're in Darfur now, I think points to the need for a greater role from the U.S. and the rest of the world.
There are reports that the LRA is marching toward Darfur from southern Sudan. Why are they heading to a place already filled with misery and war?
Well, that's a very good question. And at this point, it's all really conjecture as to why they would be heading into that direction. One of the obvious reasons that some Sudan analysts have pointed out in the past couple of weeks is the possibility that the LRA is trying or already has renewed its historical ties with the Sudanese government in Khartoum and is trying to get to Darfur in order to receive new arms or new supplies. There hasn't been any concrete evidence yet that that's the case, but it could certainly be a logical explanation. It's also true that with the LRA being chased by the Ugandan army in three countries now, that they see Darfur as one of the few places in the region where the Ugandan army won't dare to go to chase them. But again, that's all speculation at this point.
What is the fear about an LRA freely operating in an already fragile war zone, especially because of the presence of African Union and United Nations peacekeepers and humanitarian organizations in the area who might be subject to LRA attacks?
Yeah, there's been a lot of debate over the past couple of months about exactly how stable and peaceful Darfur is now compared to 1 or 2 years ago. But one thing is sure, that wherever the LRA goes, disruption of humanitarian assistance and ordinary people's lives is sure to follow. And in the past couple of months, as we've seen the LRA get increasingly desperate to supply themselves, they've begun to attack more and more humanitarian aid drop-off sites. We've seen it in the Congo and most recently in South Sudan. And as you said, with such a huge humanitarian aid operation in Darfur, LRA attacks on humanitarian sites there would definitely be a very major concern.
How are the refugees who fled the LRA attacks in Congo and ended up in southern Sudan being cared for?
It's really a mixture of UN operations and international humanitarian groups trying to provide food assistance, clean water, and health and sanitation supplies. But one of the extraordinary things is that there's been about 80,000 people displaced within Sudan by the LRA in the past year. And many of them are actually being hosted by their South Sudanese neighbors. And so what you see is a very tenuous situation where people in South Sudan that are already struggling to feed their families are very courageously, but often on the brink of their abilities, helping their neighbors that have been displaced by the LRA. And of course, you have the work of religious communities like the Kamboni sisters working in Ezo that live in these regions and have been on the front line since the very beginning, but often, I think, feel a bit overwhelmed by the scale of the crisis.
How much credit do you give the Kamboni order and Ugandan and Southern Sudanese religious leaders, primarily from the Roman Catholic Church? How much credit do they deserve for caring for the escapees?
I think that they truly deserve untold credit. They're on the front lines, and they often remain there even after some of the larger international groups leave because of lack of funding or different priorities. And one of the other things that I think that people like Sister Giovanna Calabria in Nezo and bishops and other church leaders in South Sudan have done, besides providing physical assistance, they really have a prophetic voice in calling out what the problems are in the region and advancing practical solutions for how they can be addressed. So I think they truly deserve a lot of credit.